This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday, it's an amazing Monday. Well, maybe. I guess it depends on what you think about what I'm about to say. But man, I don't even know how to really describe how the show's going to go. So let me just lay it out as frankly as I can. Medal of Honor Monday is coming up an hour from now. Around that Medal of Honor, I'm also going to do history. Why? Because I feel like it. So we're going to do some history tonight. I'll get to what that's about here in a little while. We have the great Michael Malice joining us in the final hour. He's always good for a laugh. But we are about to discuss many things. We're about to discuss how they pay for and organize everything you see. I'm talking about the communists. We're about to discuss some things about deportations. We'll get to some emails. But first, I have some bad news. I know the history thing and Medal of Honor and everything else you probably took as good news, depending. But I have some bad news. I'm about to say something very harsh. And it's not going to be something you probably enjoy. You might even get mad at me about it, but so be it. I don't really care. Today, we got an article from Jeffrey Goldberg. If you don't know who that is, it doesn't matter, but he's a big shot with The Atlantic. Jeffrey Goldberg is one of these types. I don't have to go into some anti-Jeffrey Goldberg tirade. He used to be kind of a mainstream thinker, writer on the right. Trump destroyed his brain. He completely broke. Now he hates Donald Trump. He works for The Atlantic, as I already mentioned. It's an extreme left-wing, vicious communist publication that writes a new article every single day about how Donald Trump's the Antichrist. Okay, I got that. That's who Jeffrey Goldberg is now. For the purpose of our conversation, that's who he is now. Forget about anything he was, that's what he is now. Okay? You with me? Good. The headline from The Atlantic is this: "The Trump administration accidentally texted me its war plans." And the little subtitle under that says, "U.S. national security leaders included me in a group chat about upcoming military strikes in Yemen. I didn't think it could be real. Then the bombs started falling." So, group texts. Those alone are grounds for termination immediately. Frankly, that's capital punishment. If you put me on a group text, you should know that I will probably leave it and block everybody on the group text immediately. That's how I handle most group texts. Don't ever put me on a group text, ever. Setting that aside, this was used, they were using a social media app. It's called Signal. It doesn't matter if you know what it is, but they were using a social media app. All kinds of people on this text thread. We're talking VP, SecDef, the works. Somebody added Jeffrey Goldberg to this group text. Remember, this is a vehemently anti-Donald Trump reporter. Hates Trump. Works for a Trump-hating publication. And somebody high up in the administration added him to the group chat where they then were discussing secret war plans. That person needs to be fired. Immediately. With extreme prejudice. And let me be crystal clear on this. I understand that the person who did this, and I'm not totally clear on who it is yet, is probably somebody I am friendly with, if not somebody I like a lot, because virtually every part of this administration that was part of this group chat, I like them. I'll tell you that. Being very forward with you, frank with you. But I am not in this. I don't do what I do to get invitations to the White House. I am in this for the United States of America. That's what I truly care about. That's what I care about.
this is so egregiously unacceptable that the person who did this needs to be fired and fired publicly. Not giving an opportunity to resign. So you get, well, keep your honor. Fired publicly. And now I understand when I say things like that, when you look at this list of names, it's a list of people you like. That can be hard. And so immediately we do what is I understand it's an instinctual thing to do. You start to make excuses. What? Well, he shouldn't have published the article. Well, what if it was an accident? They used someone else's initial. No. You don't understand. I get all that. In fact, I'm reasonably sure at this point in time it was a complete accident. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe there was some kind of an op going on. But I'm pretty sure it was a complete accident. But this isn't kickball in the first grade. My son, when he's 6 years old, he can pick up a little cup of milk and try to drink the cup of milk in the middle of the restaurant and miss his mouth and just dump the entire cup down his front. And then, because it's cold, he can lose control of his mind and drop the glass on the floor and shatter the glass everywhere. And you know what? I will not yell at him. He will not get in any kind of a trouble with me because that is an accident. But when my 16-year-old, which he hasn't, but if my 16-year-old picked up a glass in the restaurant of milk, missed his mouth completely, dumped it down the front of him, and then threw the glass on the floor, shattering it, we're about to have a little powwow in the restaurant. Accidents are okay depending on the qualifications of the person who committed the accident and depending on, most importantly, the importance of the topic at hand. We are dealing with national security issues, military issues. The Trump administration has less than 4 years to purge the communist menace from inside the federal government, while at the same time juggling about 19,000 world affairs, international, domestic, and otherwise. And if there is one person, I don't care what his name is, in the Trump administration who is so thoughtless, careless, or stupid that he's going to include a dirty communist on an important group chat of national security matters, then that person can prepare his resume, pack up your stuff, and leave Washington, D.C. immediately. And it needs to be done publicly so everyone else in the administration understands you're not allowed to be a moron with critical national security issues. This comes back to something I talked about before. Remember Donald Trump got elected? He got elected and they had to do the little DC thing. Remember they had to go to that Sunday service? Him, his wife, Melania was there. JD, his lovely wife, they were all there. The whole administration was there. And the church service that was set up for them that they had to go to, it was instead of run by just a normal pastor, it had to be one of these female freak pastors who, of course, is a card-carrying lesbian who used the opportunity to scold the new administration on the immigrants and the LGBTQ things. And remember what I said? And everyone said I was harsh, and I don't give a crap. Whoever was responsible for that little mix-up, for that slipping through the cracks, for putting that in front of the President of the United States of America, whatever that person's name, fired immediately. The stakes are too high. We have less than 3 years. We're trying to save a country from terminal cancer. We don't have time for mistakes. So don't you dare send me an email. Well, Jesse, what's a mistake? Well, everyone makes mistakes. Good. I'm not saying lock the person up. I'm not saying burn in hell. I'm saying you have to find another job. Because the job of the Trump administration is simply too important to let little boo-boos like this go to waste. Or go unaccounted for, I should say. You're not 5 years old with a sippy cup of milk in the restaurant. You hold a critical national security position in the most powerful country on earth. The stakes of the game are quite literally, I hate to use that word, life and death when it comes to future generations of this country. This country will succumb to the communist menace and become an evil, wretched place, or we will purge the communist menace. We will reclaim our place in the world as being the mantle of freedom, and my grandkids, grandkids, grandkids will get to enjoy the same country I did. Those are the stakes of this 4 years. So I don't want to hear about accidents. I don't want to hear about boo-boos, mistakes. I'll try to do better next time. No. No, sir. Fired. Publicly. Immediately. I don't care what his name is. I don't care what his position is. Gone. See ya. The stakes are too high. Don't care if you think it's harsh. I'm a harsh person. We live in harsh times. And we most definitely are up against a very harsh enemy. The time for gentle's done. Mommy's gone. Time for daddy to step in and fire somebody. There. I had to get that off my chest. I'm moving off it. Didn't mean to yell and scream opening up the show on a Monday, stress you out, but this way crosses the grounds of what is and is not acceptable. So there. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about the courts. Let's make fun of the Democrats. I'll get to history. Let me also talk about a little spring cleaning, if you will. You see, Legacy Box, they're having a spring cleaning sale. How many home movies do you have? Just old camcorder tapes, VHS tapes. You know, right now, they're digitizing those for $9 a tape. That is 65% off. How many tapes do you have? $9 a tape? Now, the time to pounce on that deal is right now. It's a spring cleaning sale. Plus, by the way, you get 90 days of free Legacy Box cloud access. That camcorder tape, that VHS tape is fading every single day. One day it will be gone. And then you don't get to look at wedding videos anymore. Unless, of course, you get with Legacy Box now, then it's good forever. You want that sale? LegacyBox.com/Jesse is how you get that $9 a tape sale. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, about 45 minutes away from Medal of Honor Monday. And of course, we are going to do some history tonight around Medal of Honor Monday. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Well, so there's a couple things happening right now inside the Democrat Party. And let's talk about it. This is fascinating to watch it. First, we've kind of touched on this before, but on a larger level, when they got Joe Biden into office, they had every part of our culture, every bit of it. You remember what that felt like. I mean, we still are pretty surrounded, but not as bad as we were. They had every part of the culture. They had the presidency, and they just went crazy. They just went crazy. But why did they go so crazy? Well, because communists can't control themselves, because Joe Biden wouldn't hold them back, and because they thought they had changed phases as a party, you see. And here's what I mean. When you live in a representative republic, a constitutional republic as we do, remember, we are not a democracy. We're not a democracy. That's their word. They use that word for a purpose. We're not a democracy. Anyway, when you live in a representative republic, any kind of a representative government, you always understand House, Senate, President, City Council, doesn't matter, that you kind of need the people, at least a portion of them, with you. You need to earn their respect, earn their love. You need to convince them at all times. Even communists understand this during the revolutionary phase. That's why they lie all the time about everything, always trying to convince. I need to convince you. But I see it plain as day because I've seen how it works historically. Communists will try as hard as they can to convince and coerce you during the revolutionary phase. And then the second they think they have the keys to the palace, it is an immediate turn to telling you, forcing you. No more convincing, no more nothing. The Democrat Party as a whole is going through that nationally. Once Joe Biden got elected and they had it all, they thought they could be done with this whole convincing thing, and we're just going to make people do things. Hey, I don't want people saying this. Hey, let's just send the FBI after these guys. Hey, let's just censor this. We'll just make them do that. We'll just make them do this. Let's just immediately.
Any thought of public opinion or popularity went out the door. Everything became force as they thought they had it all. And now that they're losing it, now that they've lost huge chunks of power, they don't know how to transition back into the convincing phase. They're still in this phase.
I think that you punch. I think you punch. I think you're okay with you okay with punching. You know, I think, and I love Colin, and I think towards the end he started to punch a little harder. But like, it's...
This is Jasmine Crockett talking about Colin Allred, who was running against Ted Cruz for Senate.
Ted Cruz! I mean, like, this dude has to be knocked over the head, like, hard, right? Like, there is no niceties with him. Like, at all. Like, you go clean off on him, right?
They keep doing this. And they keep getting themselves into trouble. We've got to smash him. We've got to kill him. We've got to knock him over the head. You will reap the whirlwind. Oh, whoa, hey, I didn't mean it like that. But why do they say it to begin with? Because they still haven't transitioned back into the convincing phase. Tim Walz, remember we played, I think we played it last week, if not you at least read about it, when Tim Walz got on stage and started bragging about Tesla stock going down? Well, people started pointing out, correctly so, hey, that's a company that has tens of thousands of American employees. Like, there are jobs resting on this. You have it, Chris? Oh, go ahead.
And I know some of you know this on the iPhone. They've got that little stock app. I added Tesla to it to give me a little boost during the day. 225 and dropping. So.
Tim, that's people's retirements, buddy. And he caught so much heat for it, had to come out, try to walk it back.
This guy bugs me in a way that is probably unhealthy. And but I have to be careful about being a smart ass. I was making a joke. These people have no sense of humor. They are the most literal people.
They did the best they could to try to walk it back without groveling. Why did he get himself in that mode? Because he still thinks he's in the ordering phase, where Joe Biden's elected president, and let's say you have a problem with an American businessman who's decided he's your political opponent, well, you can just smash him. Just like the Biden administration did. You can just take your political opponents, use all that government force you have at your disposal, and smash and force anybody you dislike. But they can't make that transition now. They're finding it nearly impossible to make that transition back into the convincing phase. It's wild to watch. Look at what they're doing with illegal immigration. That alone. They know, anybody knows, that Donald Trump won the presidency in large part because of immigration, meaning the country itself was so angry at what Joe Biden did, and they heard what Donald Trump was saying, largest mass deportation in history, and the country went to the polls and voted for that. Democrats lost the election in large part because of their open borders policy. Yet today, they can't hold themselves back.
We're not going to allow this mass deportation. Where we will.
You're not going to allow the thing the American people voted for? We'll talk about that. Before we talk about that, let me talk to you about the pain in your life. Physical pain. You know what I did today? Lunges. I hate lunges. And I had a nice long reprieve from doing lunges because my left knee would get sore every time I did them. Now, thanks to Relief Factor, I do lunges again and it sucks. So thanks a lot, Relief Factor. Anyway, the pain in your life, the neck pain, the back pain, the foot pain, the hand pain, the muscle pain, your elbow, your joints, what is bugging you? What is holding you back? What if you could be better in 3 weeks? Relief Factor is there. Natural ingredients, drug-free, 100% drug-free. You know, over 1 million people have already tried Relief Factor. You know, almost everyone orders more. Why do you think that is? Stuff is miraculous. Just try it for 3 weeks. If you don't like it, don't order anymore. 3 weeks, $19.95. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, and I can't wait for Medal of Honor Monday. And just a warning again, a heads up, not going to do this all the time. I believe this is 2 weeks in a row, though. We're going to do some history. I'm going to do it around Medal of Honor Monday, and I'm definitely not going to finish it today. I'm going to, again, carve out, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes, and at least do part one. I don't know when part two will be, probably tomorrow, but it's going to come in parts, just how I've decided to start doing that more. So there you go. That's coming about a half hour from now. We'll do Medal of Honor Monday. Get into that. I wanted to do just a few emails here. Jesse, I'm listening to last night's show. This is from Friday. And the segment about mama bears and how communists twist the protective nature of women. I'm a pretty quiet person, but during COVID, I about lost my mind to what they were doing to my son at school. Ended up fighting with the school board and switching him to another school that didn't do any of the awful COVID stuff. I never had the need to go into mama bear mode until then. I can't even describe the fury it built up inside me. Never felt anything that instinctual in my life. I can see why communists target women, because that's one heck of a weapon. Yes, in case you missed Friday's show, I've discussed this. And in fact, well, here's what I said on Friday, because there's actually an audio clip out there that just makes this point perfectly. Here was me Friday. Communists use your values against you. I've warned you about that forever. Whatever values you have, they will identify them. They will learn to use that, wear that like a skin suit, and use it against you. Hey, you know, Jesus would want you to fill up your country with illegals. They love that kind of stuff. And they do it on deeper levels, too, particularly with women. The mama bear stereotype is a mama bear stereotype because it's real. If you ever hurt one of my children, yeah, I'd probably torture you to death, but you better hope I get to you before my wife does. That's mama. Look, I've seen it. Remember when I told you the story when I went to Alaska? I watched a mama bear fight and die for her two cubs so they could escape. That's what a mama bear does. She'll fight. Now, when a young woman goes to college, the communist knows everything I just said. They take that nature, that wonderful nature of a woman to nurture and care for something. And what they do is they take her eyes, they take that nature, and they simply divert it towards something else. Now, instead of a focus on family, children, caring for that, now they get her focused on, I mean, pick your cause, right? Maybe it's the LGBTQ stuff. Maybe it's the climate. They get her focused on that. You know what we'll make it about the climate? They get the climate in her mind, and they make the earth, the air. They will find a way to use that motherly instinct and aim it at protecting the planet. And then once you've managed to twist her up like that, now she believes insane things. And now what will she do if you're trying to hurt her kids? That SUV, you just think it's an SUV. No big deal, right? Mama Bear looks at it like you're hurting her baby, and she will hurt you for hurting her baby. That was me on Friday. It really pains me to play this for you, mainly because Jewish producer Chris is so sore about the whole thing. He actually threatened to stop saving audio. But would you like me to prove my point using their own words? I caught this audio this morning, in case you thought that I was just way ahead of the game or that I cheated or something like that. I said what I just said to you Friday. This is this woman from today.
I want to start off by addressing one of the comments that was made by the witnesses around climate hysterics. Hysteria, it refers to something that is wildly emotional. It comes from the Greek word womb, of the womb. It is used in ancient Greek to refer to things associated with women. And I hope you'll forgive me if I get emotional. Climate emergencies are not gender neutral. The degradation of ecosystems.
As she keeps going, she goes on for another minute. Listen to what you hear. Do you hear a climate activist?
Or do you hear a mom protecting her baby?
Disproportionately impacts women and girls. And I am wildly emotional. This is the existential crisis of our time. And to hear that we're asking for high ambition is climate hysteria, that makes me wildly emotional. Absolutely. You know, when I think about my womb, you know, the two children that I bore from that womb and what future we are leaving them, I am wildly emotional. And it's not surprising to hear this from someone who has written articles that are pro-life. I think that we need to think about the intersection of gender and the climate crisis. And I hope that the people around this table and the people listening will refrain from using language like climate hysteria. We are facing a climate emergency.
Be very careful where you send your little girl to college. Be very, very careful. Jesse, I heard a newscaster briefly mention the Medal of Honor Memorial in Texas. Will you talk more about it, and did you help with its creation? It's funny you brought that up. I did. First of all, I did not help with its creation at all. Last year, there was a veterans event, like a veterans charity thing that I was involved in, that was at a Texas Rangers game that they play in Dallas. Well, the Dallas area, Arlington, I believe. And so I had to go up there. We were on this big bus. We were all together. And I went to, I'd never been in that area where the Rangers play and all that other stuff. We pulled into the place where the Rangers play, their ballpark, and right by it, this is last year, they were building some sweet-looking building. And you could just tell, wow, someone spent a fortune on that. So it piqued my curiosity. You know how curious I get about things. So I broke away from the group, and I walked over there because they had all kinds of signage around it. I checked it out. Turned out that was the brand new Medal of Honor Museum they had that they were building last year. So fast forward to this little tidbit. Do you know who Clint Romeshaw is? Clint's a stud. We've read his Medal of Honor citation before. One of the still living super stud Medal of Honor earners. He's just an awesome human being. He is with Pure Talk, as a matter of fact. Clint is part of Pure Talk, but he really cares just about veterans. Well, that's part of the reason he's with Pure Talk. He cares about vets, caring for people. Anyway, on Saturday, this past Saturday, he was at the official opening. It was like the ribbon cutting ceremony where that museum finally opened. And Clint, that dirtball, didn't text me till Friday night asking me if I was coming. And I was so mad at him. I said, dude, why didn't you tell me earlier? I would have gone up to see him, but I didn't know. For somehow it slipped my mind that I needed to keep track of this and when it was opening. So from what I understand, don't quote me on this, make sure you look it up. I believe it is now open to the public. I think that was the official big opening. If it's not already, it will be very soon, because that was its grand opening, and that would have been sick. I totally would have taken my boys up there just to meet Clint, and they had a bunch of, like, if it wasn't every living Medal of Honor winner, it was almost every single one. They were all there, and they had a big ribbon-cutting thing. Could you imagine all the... It's open, Chris? Okay, so it is open. I've never even been in it. Okay, I just told you, my only time I laid eyes on it is when it was half built last year. I'm totally going. And Chris, Corey, should we do something up there? Not political. Maybe just do like a Medal of Honor show or something like that? Let's do something up there. We should probably have discussed this off the air. Anyway, let's get back to the politics. Talk about Pam Bondi and Cash Patel next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. I can't believe you don't like Johnny Rivers, Chris. That's good music, man. If you don't enjoy that song, you don't like fun. That's your problem, actually, is what that is. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, let's check in with Cash Patel, who is going to cut as many as 1,000 ATF agents. That is a good start. It's got about 5,000 employees, so that's a good start. I'd say you're about 4,000 short, but that's a very good start. That's swamp drainage. That's a good thing. Also,
We caught all these people on the FBI's most wanted list, three of them in the first couple months. It's a great thing, but it also begs the question.
Just in the last 3 weeks, Trey, the FBI has arrested and brought to justice, thanks to the Department of Justice and Pam Bondi, three top 10 of the FBI's most wanted. Let me just say that again. Not one, not two, but three of the FBI's most wanted top 10 are now in custody because.
Did the Biden administration know where these people were? Look, I don't know about you. My calendar says it's March 24th. I'm sorry. Donald Trump has not been there very long. Did the Biden administration, did they know the location of three people on the FBI's most wanted list and they just ignored it to go after pro-lifers and school board moms? The speed with which so many of these things are happening, it's a bit startling. And we brought up immigration earlier. Let's bring it up again. Because, you know, we still have Democrats saying things like this.
We're not going to allow this mass deportation. Where we will cooperate, and I did this even under the Biden administration.
We're not going to allow mass deportation. Mass deportation of people like this.
And in Georgia, another illegal immigrant facing murder charges, this case coming just over a year after Lakin Riley was murdered. The suspect is accused of strangling a mother of five in a random attack before dumping her body in the woods. ICE told Fox the man is a Honduran national who was caught at the border in 2021 and then released.
How did the Biden administration, how exactly did they think it was going to go when they released rapists and murderers into the country? Well, let's not wait on that point. We know how they thought it was going to go. They knew they were going to continue to rape and murder. But lots of these people, they had not only put their hands on, they then released. And then the Trump administration is somehow able to snatch up all these criminals almost immediately after Donald Trump takes office. So the Biden administration not only caught these animals and released these animals, they knew where they were the entire time and didn't go get them? Tell me again why voting Democrat in 2025 is not an act of evil. I'll continue to say it over and over and over again, and I don't have to leave the immigration argument to say it. Voting for a Democrat in the year 2025 is an act of evil, as long as the Democrat Party remains completely committed to bringing in rapists and murderers as fast as possible. Then voting for Democrats is an act of evil. These people are all Democrats.
I'm concerned about how they are conducting their immigration deportation policies, seizing of American citizens without due process. While we know that many of these people may not be American citizens, they are immigrants, whether they are here illegally or through the process, we rely on our rule of law to ensure that every individual is afforded whatever the law has given them the rights to.
Of course, these people will use the law and due process and the Constitution, but they don't care about the law or due process or the Constitution. They certainly didn't care when they were bringing the rapists and murderers into the country. They're using it now to try to slow things down. But slow down what? They're trying to slow down the deportation of rapists and murderers so they can continue to rape and murder you. Tell me again, act of evil or not? I don't see how you can look at it any other way. All right, I want to move off of this because we're getting ready to do Medal of Honor Monday. I mean, look, again, Court of Appeals to hear oral arguments in a high-profile deportation suit involving Venezuelan nationals. This comes back to that plane full of illegal monsters the Trump administration deported. You can't even deport one plane full of barbarians without the American system, the communist system, the criminal system in this country, locking shields to slow you down and stop you if they can. This comes all the way back to what I said at the beginning of the show. We don't have much time. We have less than 4 years, and we don't have time for mistakes like leaking out war plans on a group chat to a communist. We have got to be better, sharper, faster, meaner than ever, or we're going to lose. These people are evil, and we have to defeat them. Now, I can't stop thinking about this Medal of Honor thing we have going, Chris, Corey. No, listen. Here's what we do. We're going to have to line up a time where a bunch of these Medal of Honor winners are in town, because this is up in Dallas. We line up a time where they're all in town, or a few of them are in town. We go up there. You guys have microphones and stuff that travel, right? Yeah, cameras and things. We do long sit-down interviews with these guys, and we'll put it, we can put it on the radio, right? We can put it on the radio. Okay, so we'll put it on the radio. We'll just have to schedule the breaks around that. We put it on video. We'll put it on YouTube or something like that. I have a YouTube channel. It's at Jesse Kelly DC. I should know, but we'll put it on YouTube. We could do this. We do 6, 7 of them, 8 of them. I mean, we do everyone we could get our hands on, but we take a weekend. We go up to Dallas. We eat some chili dogs. It's baseball season, right? Or it's about to be baseball season. I'll pay for the tickets, Chris. We'll get you guys some tickets to the baseball game. We all know Chris isn't going to pay. Go to the baseball game. We interview some Medal of Honor guys. I feel like this is a... Wait. No. We take the Medal of Honor guys to a baseball game. Seriously. Tell me that wouldn't be sick. We take them out, get a dog and a beer. The interview would be better afterwards once we get to know them. Yes, that's what we do. We take them to a baseball game. And we have the ultimate in with Clint. Clint Robichaud. Remember I told you Clint works with Pure Talk? I just love Pure Talk so much. Get this. Pure Talk, their CEO, you've heard me say it before, Mac V. Sog in Vietnam. That's how much of a stud this guy is. 2 tours. And, you know, when Pure Talk gives back, because they want to give back, they're the ultimate pro-America cell phone company. When they give back, it's always veterans this, veterans that, trying to help veterans out, get veterans medical care, get veterans out of debt, get them back on their feet. They're always doing these things like this. Well, they went and grabbed Clint, bona fide American hero, and he works with them now because that's Clint's passion, is taking care of veterans. It sucks when you see fellow veterans get lost, get left behind, kind of lose their way, and that's what Clint does. I guarantee Clint will be game, Chris. I guarantee Clint will be game. By the way, switch to Pure Talk. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Does Verizon do this? AT&T, T-Mobile? How many Medal of Honor recipients do they work with? Pick up your phone. Dial #250. Say Jesse Kelly. Take 10 minutes on the phone to switch. It's easy. You keep your phone. You save money. You're on the same network. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Speaking of all this, we're going to do a Medal of Honor citation next, and then we're leaving politics for a little while, and we're doing history, because I feel like it. You ready for that? Buckle up. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast.